discovery of London. That's London Walks Distilled. London Walks makes the new familiar, and the familiar new. That's London Walks opened out like the petals of a rose. This is the London Walks podcast. Sure enough, it's a discovery of London that makes the new familiar and the familiar new. Like London Walks, the podcast is a potpourri and a many-stringed instrument. Every day, there's a Today in London History Bulletin. Friday's a doubleheader, the London History Bulletin and the weekly podcast. Everything from interviews to readings by the two London Walks guides who are professional narrators, to Helena Jones's brilliant analyses of famous paintings, to extracts from London Walks tours, to retrospectives and look-aheads. All done to the London Walks gold standard. Take you places you wouldn't have found off your own bat, show you things you wouldn't have seen, tell you things you didn't know. Make the new familiar and the familiar new. Change the way you see London. Okay, that's the ringing of the tocsin and the writing on the greeting card. Let's see what's in the box today. London Calling.
This one's near and dear to my heart. 42 years I've been a London Walks guide. Realized with a bit of a shock a year or two ago, I'm now the doyen of London walking tour guides. Nobody's been doing this longer than I have. My personal repertory now runs to a vast assortment of London walks, 58 in total. My favorite of the 58 is Old Hampstead, the village and the heath. And what you need to take on board is how the heath is the key to the whole thing. Without Hampstead Heath, Hampstead would be nothing all that special. Just another very nice North London suburb. Canonbury, for example, or Barnsbury. Hampstead Heath is the difference maker. Hampstead Heath is what makes Hampstead the most desirable neighborhood in London, and arguably the most desirable neighborhood in the world. Certainly no other city in the world has anything like it. No other world city has a huge expanse of countryside right in the center of the city. And by countryside, I mean countryside. Hampstead Heath is not a park. A park is something manicured. Hampstead Heath, it's in the name, is countryside. It's an uncanny sensation. There are plenty of places on Hampstead Heath where you can get lost. It's disorienting. You know you're in the middle of a great metropolis, but it feels as though you're lost somewhere deep in the countryside. No other city in the world can hit that note, can do that to you. If you're attuned to these things, you can catch it in the name of the Heath and Hampstead Society. I'm a member, of course. It's a very fine organization. They produce a wonderful quarterly magazine. But the key to it is the sequence of the name. It's not the Hampstead and Heath Society. It's the Heath and Hampstead Society. The Heath comes first. It's all important. Without the Heath, Hampstead isn't Hampstead. And that brings us to our anniversary. This day, February 23rd, in 1925. I'll walk you through it. Every Sunday morning, I walk my walkers there. The terrain, if you know how to read it, tells the tale. First, the battlefield. Yes, that's right, a battlefield. My walkers don't realize it until I point out the telltale signs and show them two very rare 155-year-old photographs. But they're moving across a battlefield there. It wasn't dead soldiers. It was ground, chewed up, as if it had been groined by repeated artillery barrages. That in itself is a good measure of how titanic the struggle was to save Hampstead Heath. Anyway, across the battlefield, and then we're on to the Northern Heights. The missing piece to the puzzle. The piece that had to be saved if the mighty struggle, the 95-year battle, to save Hampstead Heath wasn't going to be for naught. After a 40-year struggle, they'd saved the first 200 acres in 1871. Then, over the course of the rest of the 19th century, they saved two other big chunks of the heath. The missing piece, though, was the Northern Heights. They had to get it. Not to get it would have been to fail at the last hurdle, and it was a close-run thing. It's such a special place up there. You're up on the roof of London. It's London's best panoramic. You can see for miles. On a clear day, you can see the supports of the Dartford Bridge, the most downstream of the Thames bridges. It's way down in Kent, miles from London. You can see the Olympic Park, Arsenal's Emirates Stadium, Manhattan on Thames, Docklands in other words, the Gherkin and the rest of the City of London skyline, the Dome, it looks like an albino tortoise undergoing a serious acupuncture treatment, and to the right, Westminster, of course. And miles in the distance, the southern rim of the bowl of hills London nestles in. It's a fantastic spot, a thrilling spot. So exhilarating to be up there. In American football terms, it's London's skybox. Be up there and see all of London spread out before you. Just a little bit further along in the Northern Heights is Kenwood, the crown jewel of the Northern Heights. In the middle of the 18th century, William Murray, the Lord Chief Justice, bought Kenwood. He recognized immediately that the vast panoramic view was the key to the whole thing, and he took every necessary step to protect that view, including buying Parliament Hill fields so it couldn't be developed. So in the 18th century, the vitally important thing was to protect the view from the Northern Heights down to London and beyond. Come the 1920s, that critically important axis was reversed. What had to be protected was the view up to and including the Northern Heights. They'd saved the rest of Hampstead Heath, but if the Northern Heights was developed, if the property piranhas had got their way, spaffed another Camden Town all over the Northern Heights, well, that would have been a disaster. And as I said, it was a close-run thing. In 1914, Lord Mansfield decided he was going to part with Kenwood and the Northern Heights, sell it all off for development. It amounted to about 200 acres. It included two lakes and three of the Highgate ponds. Mansfield was finally prevailed upon to postpone the sale to speculators if £550,000 could be found to purchase it for the public. The public response wasn't great. It looked to be too tall a mountain. But the war provided a stay of execution. And then it was do or die after the war. The people battling to save the heath had to swallow what at the time they thought was a bitter pill. They just weren't equal to getting the funds to save Kenwood and the Northern Heights. The saving of Kenwood is another great story. I tell that every Sunday out there on the Northern Heights, and one day I'll tell it here. But in the event, Arthur Crossfield, I'm on my knees every night thanking the good Lord for sending that Warrington soap magnate to London. Crossfield and his people were able to do it. Raise the money for the meadows and woodland south of Kenwood House. The purchases were completed on this day, February 23rd, 1925. They'd done it. They'd saved the Northern Heights. That's worth raising a glass to every February 23rd. I do. I hope you'll join me, wherever you are. Good night from London, on the day the Northern Heights were saved.